Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, daily check-ins, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. Welcome to No More Desire. This is Jake Castleman. Have you ever been told that addiction recovery requires humility? Do you wonder how in the world being humble could possibly help you quit porn? Perhaps hearing that might just get your defenses up. You know, oh, you're telling me I just need to be more humble? That's how I stop this unwanted behavior? Well, I've tried being humble and it doesn't work. You know, perhaps that fills you with anger. Or maybe it doesn't fill you with anger or get your defenses up necessarily. Maybe you just don't really understand what it means to be humble, quote unquote, right? You try to be humble in order to overcome porn addiction, but you wonder what that really even means. I think that humility can be an ethereal and seemingly unattainable virtue. I know it's been that way for me in my life. And I know that might sound kind of comical because when we talk about humility, at least in a Western culture, I feel like it's this very paradoxical kind of topic, right? We say, well, if you think you're humble, then you're not, which I agree with. If you say that I'm learning to be humble, that could be seen as prideful. And so it's like, well, how do I become humble? I don't know how to do that. I've found myself struggling with that question in my life a lot. And I can only say now that I'm more humble than I used to be, I think, right? I don't know what the ultimate example of humility is, right? I mean, I should say that's Jesus Christ. I don't know what that feels like because I haven't been that, right? But I do know that years ago, during the years of my addiction, I held a lot of pride. And I know that that pride is always a theme to an extent in addiction. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily a prideful person when you're caught up in addiction. We all struggle with addiction for different reasons. But those reasons have a lot of similarities, right? Fear, shame, feeling of not being good enough, pride, or in other words, the unwillingness to accept help. Those are some of the things that lead to addiction, that keep us stuck in it. And obviously there are experiences from our past, our traumas, our hurt, betrayals, and the things that we've done to other people that have, that kind of eat us up inside, right? The regrets that we have, that we can't forgive ourselves for. We can't forgive others. We can't forgive ourselves. And so it takes humility to realize and to get in touch with these different reasons that we are addicted. It takes humility to see past the symptom that is addiction, right? For me in my life, I've struggled with a lot of different addictions. Ken, some that you might think are things that are good, like an addiction to nutrition or exercise. But any time that something becomes an obsession, it gets out of balance in our life, and we start to depend on it when we feel stress or when we feel inner turmoil, right? There are things that we can lean on, God, Christ, I put first and foremost, that are things that won't lead to destructive outcomes in our life. I think that when we don't practice the humility we need in order to rely on higher power, to rely on God, rely on Jesus Christ, if you're Christian, then we, in the long run, cannot recover from addiction. And that doesn't just mean porn addiction, right? You might stop porn addiction, but then you might start food addiction. Or you might stop porn addiction or food addiction, and then you might start an addiction to video games. But it takes humility to look at your life and to say, what am I really struggling with? What am I really going through? What is the real, true underlying pain that I am resisting? I'm running from it. I'm trying to escape it. And I say this all the time because this is a major theme of my recovery program and my coaching program. But addiction, when we're caught up in that, our mindset is a mindset of resistance. And recovery is a mindset of acceptance and surrender. And that's very paradoxical. That sounds counterintuitive. And that's because the ways of God are not the ways of man. In order to recover from addiction, we have to stop resisting. We have to stop turning away from help, not allowing others to aid us, give us advice, be there for us, reach out to other people when we need help and someone to lean on. We need to start doing those things. And that takes humility. So again, this is all about practice, right? I never reach a time in my life where I become humble, right? Okay, now I'm humble, God, now I'm humble, and now I'll stay clean of addiction forever. I'm good to go. God meets us where we're at. He meets us where we're at, wherever that is. And because of the grace of Jesus Christ, that can be a really, really low place. I know when I started recovering from porn addiction and from drugs and alcohol, I was in a real low place. I was still very prideful, very rooted in fear and insecurity and shame. But Christ sent me his grace, and he sent me peace. He sent me love to meet me where I was at, even though, yeah, I was a prideful son of a gun. He knew me. He knows me. And he said, hey, I've got you. Let's take this one step at a time. And obviously, since then, my joy in life has grown, but God's help has always been present ever since the beginning. Just because I feel more peace and love in my life now more than ever doesn't mean that God wasn't there the whole time. I wouldn't have gotten to where I am now without him. And I hope to go much, much further as I take it one day at a time. So the reason that practicing having an attitude of humility helps us with addiction is it helps invite God's light in. Without humility, God cannot get through to me. My heart must be open. That kind of attitude of humility enables me to learn, to grow, to be open to help. Again, from God, from others. If I am not humble, I simply won't learn, or I won't learn as quickly. Right? The more humble I am, the more that I can learn. And the quicker I can learn it. And therefore, if I can't be humble, I can't stop porn addiction. So I aim to practice it, right? Practice humility in my daily life. And that's what we need to do if we want to recover from addiction and overcome it in the long run. We're practicing it on a daily basis. So again, I know it sounds funny. I know it sounds paradoxical maybe for me to even talk about practicing humility, but I do believe that there are some things that we can talk about how I can find a more humble attitude, right? If I'm trying to overcome any addiction, any unwanted behavior, I can cultivate a more humble attitude. And first and foremost, God helps me do that. I ask God, I say, hey, I want to be humble. And God may bring some hard experiences in my life to do that. But nonetheless, I open myself up to God and I say, I want to be humble. So I want to talk about two things. Well, a lot of things, but two general things. And that's perspective shifts that help me learn humility so I can break free from addiction. And action steps that help me build a more humble attitude so I can overcome addiction. So let's start with talking about perspective shifts. In other words, ways that I can see the world, ways that I can practice seeing the world, those around me, myself, in order to cultivate an attitude that is going to make me more susceptible to recovery and less susceptible to addiction. So the very first one of those that I want to share with you is this attitude and this overall way of living and seeing myself and my life, which is, I never know it all. I never know it all about anything, anything that I do, even something that I'm really, really good at, or that I feel I'm really, really good at, right? I've actually found this in people who are extremely skilled at sports or musical instruments. The people who are the very best at something, I always find a common reaction, a common attitude that they have about their craft. And that's that if you ask them, how good are you at this? How good are you at playing basketball? How good are you at the piano? How good are you at snowboarding? They say, I'm all right. And that's because I think, again, from things that I've been pretty skilled at in my life, I'm a decently skilled longboarder. Decently skilled at the guitar. Those are some fun things that I've done during my life. I don't do them as much these days with a family and a kid. But I found that the better I got at that thing, and the more that I learned about that thing, the more I saw other people who were truly amazing, who were truly great at that, at longboarding or guitar playing. And it got me to see, in the beginning when I started learning, when I started to get some skill, I thought, man, look at me go. Man, I shred at the guitar. Or look at me go, man, I can cruise so fast on the longboard and whip out these slides and I've really gotten good at this. And then I see someone who's truly phenomenal, who truly has just made the guitar a part of them, or who is, when they're out on the mountain, it's like they dance on that longboard. They cruise at, 50 miles an hour and whip out a slide that goes for 50 feet and make it look like nothing. And then I get some perspective, right? Wow, I'm actually not very good at this. I have a lot to learn. And so I think overall coming into life with that mindset of whatever it is that I'm doing in work, in my personal life, with my family, with hobbies or skills, man, I never know it all. In fact, there is so much that I don't know. There's so many things I know I don't know, and there's so many things I don't know that I don't know. And staying aware of that can help me be more humble in my life, and that helps me in all areas of life, but it also helps me in recovery because practicing that attitude ensures that I'm in a mindset that is open to God's help, that is open to inspiration, open to growth and learning, knowing I never know it all. In fact, I know very little, And that's the next thing that I want to talk about. That's that I know little when compared to the big picture. So I want you to think about something with me. We're going to do a little exercise. I want you to think about the things that you know, just generally, kind of picture that or understand it conceptually, the things that you know, and then think about the things that a friend of yours or someone in your family knows, that they know things that you know, and they know things beyond what you know, and you know some things they don't know, right? Then think about 10 people that you know, and all of the things that they know that you don't. That's quite a lot of knowledge, right? They know quite a few things that you know nothing about. And then think about the people in your country, right? The thousands or millions of people in your country that know things that you don't and can do things that you can't do. That's a lot of stuff, right? That is a lot. Now think about the people in your continent, the millions or billions that are on your continent. They know a lot that you don't know in your tiny, itty-bitty perspective. Now think about the people in the world and what they know that you don't. Again, we can't comprehend how massive that is. Because again, there are things that I am aware of generally that I don't know anything about. And then that's probably a solid 1%, maybe, of all the stuff in the world, maybe 1%. All the things that I know that I don't know is maybe 1%. And then there's another 99% plus that I don't know that I don't know within the world. And there is a great deal that no one in the world knows. It's beyond our knowledge at this point. It's beyond our skills, our technology, our understanding, our comprehension. And that is just one planet in an entire universe. And if our theories within science are correct at this point, there are multiple universes. And if our faith as Christians is correct, or depending on how that your beliefs work, and how God, who God is and how God functions, God may be the overseer and creator of all of those universes. So now imagine all that God knows that you don't know. When compared to that big picture, how does my knowledge, my skills, really differ from the person next to me? Can I really judge somebody else or feel ashamed of myself when comparing myself to somebody else? Can I really feel like someone else is lesser than me or more than me when compared to God's knowledge, what God knows and what God can do? It's relatively meaningless, right? And I don't say that from a negative perspective. I say that from a place of learning humility, right? Wow, there is a vast amount I know nothing about, far more than I could ever comprehend, even in my physical brain. My physical brain couldn't even possibly comprehend it if I was shown all of it. And so knowing this empowers us. It empowers us to change. It empowers us to learn, to grow. So thinking about that can really help us get into more of a recovery mindset. Because when we're in a humble state of mind, we're more open, we feel more peace, we feel less stress and pressure, because we understand so much is far outside of our control. And so we need to surrender. Surrender to God, right? Surrender to His knowledge, His will, His abilities, and He will guide us step by step in those things that we are to do to live recovery every single day, even every single moment. The next thing is, my capacity to do good is only because of God. That perspective, practicing that perspective on a daily basis, my capacity to do good is only because of God. And that's because Scripture teaches us that all good things come from Christ. All good things come from God. Without God, without Christ, I could do no good thing. I could be inspired to do no good thing. I could not have the capacity to do any good thing. No inspiration, no capacity, no ability. If left to my own designs, I actually wouldn't exist. But beyond that, even if I do exist, I would have no ability to do good. Therefore, I think the most humble perspective that we can practice is to be grateful, even for those things that we do which are good for other people. And not saying, well, you know, look at me, I'm so grateful that I'm such a good person. Instead, it's, God, thank you for granting me this opportunity. Thank you for giving me the ability, the capacity to do this good in my life. And as we do that, we are given more capacity. We are given more inspiration and more motivation to do good. And when we go about doing good in our daily life, we're filled with meaning, we're filled with purpose, we're filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then we do not desire our addiction as much. The more we are filled with those things, the less we desire our addiction. Okay, the next thing is, if Christ relied on God in all things, why wouldn't I? Okay, when we read in the New Testament about Christ's life, He's always praising His Father and thanking His Father in all things. And Jesus Christ, if our beliefs are true, He created us. He created our bodies. He created the earth. Right? He created much, much more. He created everything in the earth, perhaps everything in this galaxy, or however that functions. Christ is a God, right? Perhaps a God with a little g. And He gives deference and credit to His Father in all things, which in my mind, in my opinion, is the reason that He can do what He does, that He is who He is. Is because He trusts in God's Spirit and God's light in all things. He's become one with it. One with God. So if He does that, why wouldn't I, right? Me is just this little human living down here, one child of God, just trying to make their way and learn eternally. That's a humble perspective, right? And when I have that perspective, I can recover. The next thing is, I accept weakness and insecurity, and I lean into it. Again, if you've listened to my other episodes, you've heard me say this a lot, but that's because it has to be said a lot. I forget it all the time. So again, the humble perspective of accepting my weakness and insecurity and leaning into it. If I can practice that, if I can have the humility to know it's okay for me to feel weakness and insecurity in my life without succumbing to it or giving up, that's not what it's about. I'm not saying acceptance as in I'm weak in this way and therefore I'm just this way forever and I'm just going to give up and give in to this weakness. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't deny it, don't resist it, don't pretend that it's not there, because doing that only makes it so it can grow behind the scenes. Darkness is only darkness until we shine light on it. If we can't shine light on the darkest parts of ourselves, they remain, they fester, they get bigger. So if I accept the weakness and insecurity that I have, and I lean into it with my Savior Jesus Christ, and I say, I accept I feel this, I accept this flaw that I have, I acknowledge it, I see it, I look straight at it. God, help me be different. I don't know how, but I know that you do. Teach me. That humble attitude in all things that we do, all the things we struggle with, can lead us to a new life. The next thing is, I often don't know what I actually need. That's a humble perspective. I don't know what I actually need, but God does. I often think that I need the success, I need the credit, I need the positive experience or the possession that I want or the nice house I want or the nice car, or I think that I need the praise of my boss, or I think that I need this certain skill or ability that I've wanted for so long. One of the things that I thought that I needed 10 plus years ago was that I needed to have a six pack. And that sounds hilarious. Okay, but truly, and this is something that a lot of men think these days, or something akin to that, right? I need to have a nice body. Well, God knew better. I was always fighting for that, always needing that to make me feel worthy as a human being. And whatever that thing is for you, right? Maybe you're slow at reading and you think, if only I could be a fast enough reader, then I could get all of these things done and then I would be worthy as a human being because I'd be able to get more done. I'd earn that worth through my productivity. Whatever the ailment or the weakness is, maybe it's there to humble us. Maybe we don't need that thing, that success that we believe that we do in order to give us worth. Maybe we need to make peace with how we are now. And I venture to say, because I've experienced this in multiple aspects of my life, maybe, just maybe, when we accept that thing that we don't have, and we accept that we're enough without it, then maybe we'll be granted it. But the nice thing is, when we are granted it, we don't rely upon it for our joy and peace. Even something like having a nice physical body, right? If you base your worth on that, it can become a great source of agony, pain, pride. It can become chains for you because it's what you're thinking about all the time. Oh, I need to eat just the right thing. I need to exercise just the right amount. I need to do this and that. It needs to all be just right so that I maintain this body because it's my identity. It's who I am. I am the guy with the six pack. I know it sounds funny, but I'm serious. If that's my identity, then when it's gone, when I get old and saggy, then what am I? Eventually it's going to go away, right? Eventually we get old, or other things take priority. We have to sacrifice in different areas of our lives. And then that thing, whatever it might be, may get sacrificed. And can we be flexible enough to let it go? And the only way that we can be flexible enough is if we've already come to a place where we're at peace with it or without it. So God knows what we really need. Right? He knows what we need to focus on, where we need to be flexible, what we need to base our lives on. And I testify that if we base the foundation of our lives, our recovery, our happiness, on anything but our relationship with God and giving our life and will over to Him or to Jesus Christ, in the case of Christianity, us that are Christians, we will fail. Eventually, whatever it is we base our recovery on will give way. It will not be enough. And it may not be that we go back to our old addiction, but to a new addiction. And the last attitude of humility that I want to talk about is, if I am fighting for sobriety, I am not in a recovery mindset. If I am fighting for sobriety, I am not in a recovery mindset. We often think that we need to fight for sobriety, that each day is a war, it's a battle, right? There are literally motivational videos on that. Today is a battle. Today is a war, right? You get up, you put on your suit of armor, and you go out and you fight. We're taught that all the time. And of course, there are stories in the scriptures, right, of putting on the suit of the Spirit, right, the full armor of God. And I agree with that, right? But that's different. That's different. When we go into life, whatever it is, in a battle mindset, a comparison mindset, I need to fight for this, especially when it comes to overcoming an unwanted behavior or to overcoming addiction, we're going about it the wrong way. We don't need to earn that sobriety in reality. Yes, is that a way of saying it, right? When I've been sober for years, that I've earned it? Sure. But if I'm truly in a recovery mindset, I'm going to give that credit to God, simply because I wouldn't have the capacity to be sober without Him. It's not about fighting. It's about surrendering to God. In all that you do, surrender to His will, surrender to His love, surrender to His help. And know that you're worthy of it as a child of God. Don't expect that He's going to take away your challenges and trials. Ask Him to aid you in facing them. Don't ask Him to take them away. Ask Him to give you the capacity and to teach you how to accept them as they are and move through them. Then let me give you some action steps, okay, to be able to build this humble attitude. We've talked about some perspective shifts. Now we're going to talk about some action steps briefly. So, action steps that you can do on a daily basis would be, number one, to pray and read of Scripture. Okay, it's irreplaceable in my mind. I just don't think that you can recover from addiction. Again, my opinion. I don't think that you can recover from addiction without daily prayer and reading of holy words. And whatever member of, whatever faith you're a member of, that's going to look different. But on this podcast, right, I'm Christian and I speak from a Christian perspective. You need to read of the Holy Word of God and pray on a daily basis, and to have that be dedicated, meaningful time. That will help build humility in your life. That will help give you the capacity to recover from and get rid of addiction. One day at a time. The other thing is to ask other people for help. Often as addicts, we isolate. We think we don't need help. We justify, we rationalize, we say, I've got this. I've been sober a whole week. I know what I'm doing. I've got it. I don't need people's help. I've got it on lockdown. 24 hours later, you've relapsed. Okay, that's because recovery takes a humble mindset and it takes being open to help from God and from other people around you. Ask others for their advice, their input, their perspective. Okay, and then the last thing that I'll say is to become part of a recovery group. Get in those groups with those people. Okay, if we want to quit porn, it requires us to humble ourselves before God and Jesus Christ. God's not demanding that submission because he needs it for himself. He just knows that the only one way to overcome unwanted behaviors is to live in accordance with truth and peace. I want to just wrap up with this quote for recovery. This is from someone in my group. I won't say their name, but they said, "I'm either at war with God or I'm at war with myself. If I weren't, then I would feel peace." So surrender, accept, go with God, my friend. Much love. God bless. Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.